My soul has been filled with joy and gladness and thinking of what the Lord has brought out here about the Lord Jesus during these meetings. One shudders to think, could we add anything more to that? But, you know, there are precious souls here. Your soul is at stake tonight here. If there's someone here that's not saved, all that we've had before us about the Lord Jesus coming down to this world, wanting to gather a people and take them up into heaven to be with Him, it's a wonderful story. We want to enlarge on it a little bit tonight. Maybe nothing new, but maybe something that will reach your heart. What is it that's holding back? You know, sometimes I think when we preach the gospel, we speak about how the Lord Jesus came down into this world, how He died, how He loved us, how He took our place there on the cross so that we might not be judged for our sins. And why is it we hold back? Why is it we don't say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." You know, it's so easy to get saved. Just 2 weeks ago, tomorrow night, the Lord touched my heart and seeing two cases, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. I was down in Peru. Went off to a place I'd never been to before. It's called Shitari. It's over in the jungle of Peru. You have to cross way over the mountains. And I won't tell you all the obstacles and the problems we encountered in getting there. It just seemed like one thing after another. Were we ever going to be able to make this trip? So much so that some of us were saying in our hearts, "Well, Lord, do you really want us to go?" Well, now as I look back on it, I believe there was an enemy working too. And maybe that same enemy's working here tonight. Maybe there's somebody that's holding back, not saying, "Yes, Lord." Before I go on with the story, I want to pick up with where one of the last verses that was quoted to us last night. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now that's the gospel invitation. God loved the world. That verse is divided into two parts. The part that God has done and the part that you need to accept. "Whosoever believeth in Him" is the part that touches us. The part that God has done is, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." What a beautiful thing to bring those two things together. God and a sinner brought together in oneness and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. We were traveling over this mountain. We arrived to a place near there. We opened up our Bibles and began reading some of the scripture verses. And there was a couple sitting there on a little bench. They didn't even have a back on it. There were two candles up in the windowsill and the one little lantern over on this side. And it was difficult to read your Bible because it was dark. And all we had were two candles and another little light over there. And there was a young couple sitting there, close together, a man and his wife. And their heads were bowed like this, and they were reading the scriptures. And as we read those scriptures of the gospel, I think maybe even John 3:16 was read, you could see their hearts were touched. Their heads were bowed. They didn't even lift up and look. God was speaking to that couple. And as the scriptures were read, I believe God was touching their hearts. And I believe they were saying, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." A brother said, "Do you understand?" They said, "Yes." "Do you want to be saved?" They said, "Yes." And so we all got down together on our knees, and they lifted up their voice in prayer and confessed that they were sinners. They confessed the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Oh, there was joy in heaven. There were serious faces there. They weren't laughing. They were serious. Why? Because the sin question was in view. Their sins. What about their sins? They learned that the Lord Jesus died for sinners. And they accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We went to another house on this same trip, the same day. We walked into this house with the intent of opening up the scriptures. A family also lived in this house. And you know what? There was no room for Jesus in their hearts. Instead, they pushed a little button and a little apparatus turned on, and this was supposed to entertain us for the time that we were there. And I thought to my soul, what a hindrance. What a pity. This family has no room for Jesus. The others did. And they got saved. Now I tell that because I believe it's a witness to us. The Spirit of God is still working. Not big things. One by one. In this case, it was two. Got saved. How about you, dear friend, tonight? Where do you stand? What is it that is hindering you from accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Let's open up our Bibles to John 3. The Gospel of John. You know, we've had in these last meetings, we've had the purpose of God in coming down to bless. How the Lord Jesus came from heaven down into this world to save us. How he went to the cross. How he sent down the Spirit of God now to gather together in one the people of God. And that's the purpose of the Spirit of God being here. That's why we're having a gospel meeting. We're inviting souls. We're inviting you, dear friend. If you haven't come to know the Lord Jesus tonight, listen. Listen up. This is for you. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 13. "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now notice, we'll drop down to verse 36, the last verse of the chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, dear friends, we have two issues here. We have two things here. We have life, and we have salvation, and we have death, and we have the wrath of God. I want to speak a little bit about this tonight, the judgment. It says in he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't have to do anything to be lost. We're born in sin. We prove it all through our lives by what we do. We need to be saved. And God sent His Son into the world to save us. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven. He died on the cross in love to your soul. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why was the Lord Jesus lifted up on the cross like that serpent in Moses? To bear the judgment. God, in mercy, sent him to take your place and my place there on the cross, so that he could forgive you and me, and so that we could be saved. Is this hard to understand? No. So simple. So simple. And yet, there are people that are not saved. Why? What is it that's hindering you, dear friend? What is it that is hindering you from accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Recognizing, first of all, that God loves you. Second, we see in this the consequences of sin. You know, sin is treated lightly today. It's one of the favorite pastimes of the unbelievers to make light of sin, either with jokes or with amusements. And when I walked into that home where they did not have an ear for the gospel, what impressed my soul and something of the burden of my heart tonight is, what is it that is hindering your soul? There are so many things that the enemy can use to occupy our time. It was the electrical apparatus there that turned on and occupied people. I believe that because they did not want to hear the gospel. You know, our brother mentioned last night, he quoted a verse from Mark's gospel, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I've thought a little bit about that expression, and we're going to turn to it maybe later on, but I want to introduce it now. Where the worm dieth not. What does that mean? I believe that speaks of the conscience that God has given to everyone, that every soul in eternity is going to have, remembering the issues of life, the conscience accusing and speaking to one's own self, reminding for all eternity of sin, of God's righteous judgment, and where you will never be able to turn it off. You know, people turn off their conscience. They try to. When that little voice inside says something about you're a sinner, or you need to, you know this is right, and you don't want to do it, there's 101 things that we can use, as it were, to turn that conscience off, so we don't think about it anymore. The sad thing is that in hell, you won't be able to turn it off. To die without Christ, to go to hell, there are two things there that verse tells us. You can't turn off your conscience that tells you. What was it that Abraham said to the rich man we were told last night? Son, remember. He had to remember what happened in his life. He couldn't turn it off. The worm wouldn't die. It never will. That's serious. That's sad. But it also says the fire is not quenched. The judgment of God, no way to turn it off. Can't stop. These are the issues of your soul, dear friend. This is the consequence of saying no to the Lord Jesus. How can we look back to Calvary's cross, see the Lord Jesus there, hanging up there, being made a curse for us so that we can be forgiven, say no to Him, and go home and sleep? Oh, I pray God you will not be able to do that, to go home and sleep if you're not saved. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be saved. How much He has done for us. What is it right now that you are using, dear friend, to turn off those darts that are touching your heart, that are saying, turn to Jesus? What is it that you are using? Oh, it was a wonderful to see a couple who would block out everything else in this world, sit on a humble bench, bow their heads and listen to the gospel testimony and accept it and believe it and be saved. And what a contrast. Another couple. No. And in order to appease the conscience for a time, turn something else on to think about. Go somewhere else. What are you doing on your free time when God is speaking to you? Is it really worth it to let these amusements take up our time? And I'm not saying that the amusements in themselves are bad. But if I use anything, any amusement, any apparatus, any good thing to hinder me from turning to the Lord, I'm making a big mistake. First of all, because now is the only time I can be saved. Second of all, because later on, to those who reject Him, you won't be able to turn them on. You won't be able to use them. There will be no amusements in hell. There will be nothing to take away, to distract your mind, to make it easier to appease things. I hope I'm not speaking too strongly, dear friend, but my heart has been touched with how Satan is using those kind of things to allure people and to trick them or to cover the real issues, to postpone it or anything. It made me realize how successful Satan is in the environment that we live in this country, where there is so much to occupy our time, and how often those things, which are not bad in themselves, Satan is using to keep our souls from looking back to Calvary's cross and seeing the Lord Jesus as our Savior. These verses are so wonderful. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, why did Moses lift up that serpent there in the wilderness? It was so that everyone easily could look at that serpent of brass and be healed. Why was it that the Lord Jesus was lifted up on a cross? It was so that salvation could be so accessible, so easy to obtain. How hard is it to get saved? It's the easiest thing in the world. I can't think of, there's a lot of gimmicks out here in the world to get people to do things. And it's so much so that the normal American is turned off on gimmicks and advertisement. If I walk down the street and somebody offers me a paper or something, you know what my first reaction is? No. You go to a foreign country where they don't have all the advancement of the world, and you offer them anything. It could be a lie. You offer them anything, and they're flocking you to get it. This is Satan's way of distracting people. But in the middle of this, the Lord Jesus is lifted up here. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and so here tonight in the gospel meeting, we want to lift up before you the Lord Jesus Christ and say, do you want Him? Will you take Him as your Savior? Will you accept and recognize that what He did there on the cross was what was necessary for your sins to be forgiven? The judgment that was poured out there on Him? Nobody can understand how. We understand a little bit what the men did to Him there, and how they hit Him, and they put a crown of thorns on Him, and how they put a spear up in His side, and they put the nails in His hands and His feet. We understand a little bit of the pain and the suffering and the consequence of that. But really, we don't really understand what went on during those 3 hours of darkness when God laid on Him the sins of those who trusted Him. When God dealt in full measure the judgment of sin upon Him. And now God lifts Him up and He And by the preaching of the gospel, he presents to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you have him? Will you look to him in faith? That's all they had to do to be healed in Moses' time. That's all we have to do tonight to be saved. A look of faith. When the Lord Jesus was walking here, and there was a woman who had an infirmity, and she was walking along, and she believed in the Lord, and she believed that the Lord could heal her, and she walked up behind the Lord and touched the border of his garment, and she was healed. And the Lord Jesus knew the moment she touched her, him. And he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" That's the person we're dealing with tonight. You look to him and he'll know when you look in faith. We can't touch him with our hands, but you can look at him by faith and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me." That's why the Lord Jesus is lifted up. The judgment should not perish. We've talked about hell. Let's refer to those verses we already referred to in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Read just a little bit here. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll begin with verse 42. "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." These are very serious words. The Lord here himself is advising us about hindrances to being saved, hindrances to entering into life. And he's saying that it'd be better to lose a hand or a foot or an eye and to perish in hell. That's the seriousness of the consequences. You know, it was interesting to me. I was speaking to Brother Graham here this morning, and he was telling me a little bit about the history of the assembly up there in Springfield where he comes from. And to me, it was remarkable that he told me 3 stories. A man who lost a hand, a man who lost a foot, and if I'm not mistaken, there was an eye, or there was another member anyway, a man that lost that. When the assembly was established way long time ago, over 150 years ago, I believe it was, and it made me think of the faithfulness of God and working in that city a long time ago to begin a little gathering there. He said there were 6 souls that began breaking bread there a long time ago. You know, it's still the same. When I was down in Bolivia, A friend of my son Caleb here, who grew up as a little boy with him, whose name is Willie, used to climb up in a tree and play. I don't know if my son Caleb remembers this now, but when he was little, they used to climb up in trees and play together. The years went by, and this friend Willie got away from the upbringing he had. He was brought up by a Christian family, and he got out into the world. Poor Willie. And he was on the road to a lost eternity. And God spoke to him, and he lost his hand. After he lost his hand, Willie turned to the Lord. He came back. He preached the gospel. And he does it every year I go there. He stands up and he holds his Bible like this because he doesn't have this part of his hand. And every time he preaches the gospel, I think, yes, it's better to enter into heaven with one hand. That's what it took for Willie to get saved. What is it going to take for you to get saved? How is God going to have to speak to your heart? It may not be a hand. It may be a foot. It may be something else. It may be some pleasures. What is it? For God so loves the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If thy hand offend thee, don't let it hinder. Don't let it hinder. We could tell some other stories. Others. Your brother Lino Bueno, down in Bolivia, another brother. He lost an eye. He lost an ear. He lost a hand. But he told me, he said, thank God. Before I blew my brains out, you brought me to know, to say yes, Lord. The Lord Jesus loves us. The faithfulness of God that deals with us. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus wants to bless you. He wants to save your soul. When we look to Calvary's cross, how could we doubt? Yes. What he wants to do with your life is better than anything you can imagine. No doubt, many times, we don't say yes to the Lord because we want to do our own will. Well, the Lord Jesus warns us about this. Let's go back to John's Gospel, chapter 3. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, God told Job, because there is wrath, beware. There is wrath. Now this is not a part of the gospel. The gospel is that God loved you. He sent his Son to die for you. By faith in Him, by trusting in Him, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior, you're delivered. You're passed from death unto life. There is no condemnation, but the wrath of God abideth on those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing that the gospel can be concentrated in one person. You know, to the natural mind, this looks like very narrow-minded. It says in Acts 4, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That looks very restrictive, doesn't it? There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why is that? That's because there was only one who could satisfy God's claims. Regard sin. Regard your sin. Regard my sin. There's only one who was holy enough to bear all that judgment and to exhaust all the judgment and to be able to say to you and me now, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because there is wrath, beware. Now we've told some of these stories about Willie. We've told stories about Nino Bueno and others. These stories. That judgment. When Willie lost his hand, that was just the mercy of God. I look at that as our brother was speaking about the Spirit of God compelling. He compels us. He knows it's serious. He knows it's necessary. He knows we must be saved. And so these things that may happen, and don't test God on these things. Don't see how far you can go in the course of this life without Christ, and see how far you can go before accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That's dangerous. It's dangerous to do that. Accept Him now, before it's too late. We have no promise of tomorrow. Tonight's the last gospel meeting. We're going to have meetings tomorrow, but I don't believe there's going to be a gospel meeting. That doesn't mean that somebody might not be able to get saved, but we have no promise of tomorrow, getting saved. Tonight is the night. Now is the accepted time. I'd like to close with a hymn number 6 in our hymn sheet. God in mercy sent His Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. It was for sinners. Number 6.
God in mercy sent His Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. Thank you. Every time.